chapter number 21. If you'd stand for the honoring of the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 21. I'd like to preach from a text today I've never preached from before. Trust and hope that it'll be a blessing to us and a help. I've never read no place in the Bible where I either didn't get challenged or convicted or comforted. And that's why we need the Word of God in our lives. The book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 21. Start reading in verse number 23. The Bible said, when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him, and he was teaching, and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Jesus answered, said to them, I also ask you one thing. He said, you can ask me something, I'm going to ask you something. Which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? Amen. And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he'll say to us, well, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. They answered Jesus and said, they thought they had him. They just going to stay neutral. That's where a lot of Baptists trying to stay. You can't stay neutral. You're either with him or you're against him. You're either in or you're out. It ain't no playing around with this thing with God. Some of y'all need to quit playing with God. Get both feet in instead of two hanging out. Afraid you're going to offend somebody. These little old sissy preachers, they scared to preach anymore. We shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. They answered, Jesus said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now watch your Bible. But what, thank ye? Now they listening to it. A certain man had two sons, and he came the first, and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered, said, I will not. I love that kind of feller. You ain't got to wonder where they at. Wouldn't that be refreshing when you'd ask somebody where you been? They said, it's been sorry as gully dirt. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward. I could preach 2 hours right there. He repented and went. And he came to the second and he said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Now they listening. Whether them twain did the will of his father. In other words, which one of them two boys done right? Oh, Lord, rabbits is jumping everywhere. They say unto him the first, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, watch this. I'm glad I found it. Oh, Lord. I'm glad I found this verse. Where I go to church, you ought to be glad that you found it where you go to church. Verily I say to you that the publicans and the harlots go in the kingdom of God before you, you snooty rascals. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, we love you today, and I want to thank you, God, for the good Sunday school message. How it has challenged my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the men we've got here that can teach this book. Thank you for that. Thank you for the good hand of God upon their lives. Lord, it's come my time this morning. I'm a needy preacher. I sure do need you. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me. God, I pray you'd let me be a blessing. And I pray, God, that you'd draw by your power today a sinner. God, save she or save he. Save the one nearest to hell this morning, Lord. I pray now you let preaching be easy. I love you and praise you. I'm going to try to mind you, Lord, with all that's in me. I'm going to try to keep my heart tender, Lord. Help me to mind you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, in the reading this morning, I wanted to get in on preaching early because I got a lot of it to get done. But I want to give you a text verse in verse number 28 where Jesus said, "But what thank ye?" And I'm going to preach on this subject this morning on, have you thought about it? Have you thought about it? Now, you'll notice, first of all, there is an arranged time. Timing is everything. Brother Randy had spoke to it this morning. You know, as the old preacher was writing, there is a time for everything. A time to cry, a time to die, time to rejoice, time to weep. But certainly there is an arranged time. In verse 23, the Bible said, when he was come to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him and he was teaching. They said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee the authority? And Jesus answered. Now the arranged timing. First of all, you'll notice there was a recognized place in the temple. There was a lot of people that they hung around at the temple just because of rituals. You know, I noticed that when Mary and Joseph took Jesus when he was 12 years old to the temple to pay the sacrifice in Luke 2, they lost him at the temple. You know, I'm afraid that the Lord Jesus has been lost today in our temple. We go there for formality and we go there just because it's on Sunday. And can I tell you that here, this arranged time, it was a recognized place, the temple. Everybody knew about the temple, but everybody didn't know how to act in the temple. And we'll see that not only was it a recognized place, but you'll see in verse 23, the Bible called themselves, they were chief priests. Not only recognized place, there was religious people. It was a time that not only when religion was at its highest, but that seemed like the Pharisees was at its highest. There were two sects of people at this time in the majority. There were Pharisees. They were holders of the law. Man, they could quote it in and out. They knew nothing about the grace of God. They were great separatists. And I believe that God's people ought to come out from the world and be separate. It's what He said. The issue nowadays is the church looks more like the world. Amen. God don't want the world in the church. And so He's always said, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will receive you. And so, but these Pharisees, they like to look down on people. They were chief priests, but I can tell you what their problem was. They had a little clique going. I'm going to get it and show it sometime while I was preaching this week. And God is my witness. It said, clique funeral home. And I was preaching in a big way. I said, I tell everybody at our church don't have a clique, but I'm going to tell them this is where they wind up if they get in a clique. Amen. Amen. Boy, it'll be sure to kill you. But now these Pharisees, they was these folks that stuck their nose up in the air and they thought they was better than somebody else. And Jesus had done sense that about them. He knew all about them. There was the Pharisees, and man, they knew the law. I mean, they'd run around pointing the law to you. Reminds me of Independent Baptists, amen. Amen. Preach on things instead of the Bible. Now, You know, a feller can preach his convictions, but it don't matter to me because it might not be my conviction. I want to know what the Bible said. And so, you know, everybody don't have to wear a white shirt. You know, we're individual. You can wear a blue shirt. Matter of fact, in this church, you can wear overalls. You'll be all right. Somebody say, amen. And you can wear your Ralph Lauren best, amen. Some in this ministry, they ride in jacked up four-wheel drive trucks, amen. I hate Brother Daniel sold that thing. He had to throw a rope out to let Miss Amanda climb in the thing, amen. And then we have Mercedes in the parking lots. Not many, but we got a lot of jacked up trucks, amen. And so anyway, they Pharisee. So we got to be careful that we not turn Pharisaical. Can I tell you, Liberty Baptist Church, we're not the only church in Bowden, Georgia that's preaching the gospel. They still some men preaching in this little town. And they still some men preaching in Georgia. And still some men preaching in Alabama. Now I tell you, wasn't no women preaching, though they trying to, but they ain't doing it according to the Bible. But anyhow, that rabbit got up and I thought I'd just go and throw it to you to keep you leveled out. Watch out, don't be a Pharisee. Now it's two groups of Pharisees, man. They look down on people. Be careful when people run to the altar and say, well, they're getting what they deserve. What you deserve. And don't you come in here thinking, honey, you on a notch above me. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. You hear me? We'd be in hell. You say, preacher, we don't hear much that kind of preaching. Well, you ought to hang around preaching and you'll hear it more. But certainly there was the Pharisees. Then there was the Sadducees. They was the liberals of the day. Anything went with that crowd. There's always fighting each other, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. I like what one old preacher said. He said they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they called them, because they're sad, you see. You see, if my Redeemer didn't get up, I'd be sad too. Now, I don't want to be a Pharisee, and I don't want to be a Sadducee. Amen. But I want to be a Biblicist. I want to believe the Bible. I want to follow Christ. Go on, let me tell you, we are an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. But honey, let me tell you, Jesus got me before the Baptists got a hold of me. So we find this time that Jesus sets this stage, timings everything. And I love the sermon that He give them. Matter of fact, the sermon needs to be preached all around America. You'll see this arranged time. It was a recognized place and it was religious people. But I want to say going on in this temple now, there was a ruthless practice. Look in verse 12 of Matthew 21. Who in the world ever thought that meekness was a wimp? Who ever thought that meekness was weakness? Can I show you what our Lord and Savior did? He said in Matthew 21, talking about not only the people and places, but the practices. The Bible said Jesus went in the temple of God, cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and He overthrew the tables. I don't know if y'all want Jesus as your pastor or not. You think I get a little out there sometime and a little wild? Well, sometime we just ought to turn a table or two over, amen. So He overthrew the tables of the money changers, and I want you to underline this, because I'm going to get back there. And the seats of them that sold doves. And He said to them, it is written. And matter of fact, if it ain't wrote in this book, we ought to leave it alone. Look how He preached now. It's written. My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye've made it a den of thieves. Yeah, I've heard people say, boy, that preacher, he's so plain. Well, when you go to the doctor, you want them to just beat around the bush or you want them to diagnose the issue. So Jesus wrote in the Bible that it may be clear and it may be plain. Now, we see, first of all, the arranged time. But number two, you'll see in verse 28, this appropriate text. Jesus was the greatest preacher that ever lived. He was a man that had never known sin. He was a man, preachers, that wasn't like us. He didn't have to keep himself unspotted, unclean from the world, because he had never known sin. He was the sinless, harmless Lamb of God. He was God manifested in the flesh. He didn't have to worry about this old flesh me and you got. Somebody said one time, well, he could have sinned. No, he couldn't. God cannot sin. He's too good to sin. It was God walking around in the form of man. He couldn't sin. And so he said, I tell you what I got for you boys. I got a sermon. I love to see these folk, these Pharisees, when God preaches to them. And what he preaches ought to make a redneck shout. The Bible said this, now not on this arranged time, but this appropriate text. He said in verse 28, but what thank ye? A certain man had two sons, and he come the first, said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Now, I want to say this and sort of warming up this morning. You'll notice that there in this appropriate text, it spoke of the Father's ground. He has a vineyard. I'm glad there's fruit in his vineyard. Thrilled my heart while ago to see little Gretchen follow. I don't know if you noticed or not, but her mama come to the altar. The little Gretchen come, put a little hand around her to the altar. Her daddy come, prayed a while ago. Little Gretchen, she don't know no difference. She just went, throwed her hand around her dad. Now that makes me want to run around the building this morning. If it wasn't so many visitors and I'd scare you slam to death, I'd just run around the building and shout. See, you don't realize where he used to be. And some of you, don't get down on me about me being loud and bragful about the Lord. You don't understand where I used to be. You don't understand what God's brought me out of. And I wish that I was like the elder son, but I'm not sorry for it. I'm just a prodigal son, but I'm glad the love of the Father drew me back home. And I got tired of living in the hog pen. And honey, I'm going to tell you, I got some scars on me that goes way in deep places this morning. So I can relate to hurting people and broke up people. And so here in this text, Jesus is going to give us something to shout about. This appropriate text, the Father's ground, it's a vineyard. Aren't you glad there's fruit in the vineyard? I want to take a time out in just a minute, though. If it ain't pruning, it ain't no fruit. And so God, a lot of times, He cuts back in the house so that it be more fruit. In our life, you know what He'll do? He'll cut us back so it'll be more fruit. I got me a few years back one of them gas cutter trimmers. Man, you talking about a man that's dangerous with a new toy? You let me get that thing cranked up and get smoke boiling out. I mean, I'll cut it to the ground. And it looks bad when it got cut down. But you give her about 3 months with rain and sunshine, there'll be new growth come up, just like it is in our life, like it is in a church. Sometimes God prunes us back that we may have growth. And let me tell you why the average Christian isn't getting no pruning back. There ain't no preaching coming out of the pulpits to convict us and to correct us and to convince us that we need some cutting back in our lives. And so here this morning we find this appropriate text. It was the Father's ground. It was a vineyard. There's always digging, planting, watering, and pruning. Let me tell you, you just didn't happen in here today. God's got you and me here for a reason. God had me hear this Sunday school message this morning for divinely ordained exactly what I need. And if you'll get in a Holy Ghost-filled church, God will send you what you need for you and your family and for your babies. And you won't be going to Dr. Phil. You won't be writing into Ophrah asking, what in the world I do now? Honey, you'll know because the Holy Ghost said He would lead and guide you into all truth. Thank God for the vineyard. Hallelujah for the vineyard. Look around, there's fruit sitting around. God's vineyard. It ain't mine. We're workers. It's God's vineyard. Now look at the urgency of this text. The Bible said that not only was it the Father's ground, but it was the Father's guidance. He said in verse 29, He answered and said, I will not, but afterward He repented and went. He said, son, go work today in my vineyard. You may not have a chance tomorrow. Sinner, listen to the old preacher. You may not have your chance tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time. Christ died for you. Christ died for all. He's not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. The urgency of the message. He said, boy, I want you to go into my vineyard today. Wouldn't it be a blessing that you come in here as a stranger and walked out as a son in the vineyard this morning? Now, you'll notice here that Jesus knew it'd be folks like us. Because we see not only this Father's grant and Father's guidance, but thank God for the Father's grace. Look in verse 29. He answered, said, I will not. But afterward, God was so good to him, he gave him another chance to go in. Isn't that just like the grace of God? When he ought to have killed us, he's loved us. Now, I know some of y'all sitting around saying, well, now, I've never done that. Well, okay, I'm going to tell you what, 98% of them knows what I'm talking about. 2% of you is liars. The grace of God allowed us to do things. Not only His ground and His guidance, but His grace. He said afterward He went in. Maybe afterwards done behind you and you ready to go in this morning. I've noticed it takes folks a while. But I sure am glad what God does, He does forever. And thank Him for His grace. There was some folks met God last night lost that didn't have the grace about them that you got this morning. And you ought to thank God. You ought to run to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, thank you for your amazing grace that you've given me one more chance to get into your vineyard. Boy, we see His garden, His ground, His guidance. I want you to come in today. And He said, I will not. But afterward He came. I want to say this. I'd love to save you some heartaches. I'd like to save you a lot of this things in the afterwards. There's a lot can go on when you say no. I don't know if God took any of His young'uns. I'd hate to know, Brother Allen, God had to get my attention, take one of my young'uns and put them in a box to wake me up. Afterward, I don't know what transpired. Jesus was preaching, but there's a whole lot of things can go on in that afterward. But I can tell you this, God knows how to get our attention, don't He? And so here, this arranged time, this appropriate text. But then, watch this applied truth. In verse number 31, He said, and whether them two did the will of the Father, they said to the first, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now, the applied truth, I want to say there's hope in this truth. I'm glad Jesus loves sinners. You say, well, how did harlots and publicans, how did them scum of the earth people get into heaven? They responded to preaching. God said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And it's always been that way, and it will always be that way. It is the written text. It is the written Word of God that God has chosen that men share the gospel with sinners. And so here within this writing, there's an applied truth. There's a hope of truth. Look what He said. And He said that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom before you. What? Jesus sort of just put them in their place. You see, not only does this give me hope, but it gives me help. You know what lets me know? Jesus loves sinners. You know, I'm glad our church loves sinners. We don't like sin. We try not to tolerate sin, but I'm glad we love sinners. If somebody wants to get help, I'm going to tell you this morning, you pulled in the right parking lot. If you're looking for a church that's perfect, I'd go and leave now. You messed up. You know why? Because there's people here. I don't know why people have an issue thinking that they might could do something wrong. We better realize who we are and what we made out of this morning. But boy, not only does this give me hope, it gives me help to let me know that there's some bad people in heaven. Had a lifestyle that wasn't pleasing. So it takes me on now to this arranged time, appropriate text is applied truth. But look at verse 32, this admired testimony. Look what Jesus answers and tells them. He said, "Verily I say unto you, verily, that the publicans and the harlots go in the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots," here's the word, "believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him." Now this admired testimony. Turn with us over to the left in your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 3. And let's look what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter number 3. Not only the arranged time, this appropriate text and applied truth, but there's an admired testimony. Jesus said, "You would not listen to the preaching of John the Baptist." Now, in those days, John the Baptist has been around a long time, said he came, look what he was doing. He wasn't dancing. Wasn't having a talent show. He is preaching. You know what that means? It means a claiming an action with a loud voice. Preaching. Look where he was at. Wasn't in a Colosseum. He is in the wilderness. He was in the land of Palestine. And look what he said, the first word he said. And saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now I need to give you a little background and I'll be closed. First of all, for 400 years, God's been silent. From Malachi to Matthew, God's not had nothing to say by a prophet. And all of a sudden, John the Baptist, he breaks out of the wilderness and the first thing he's crying is, "Repent." You know what that word means? It means simply to be sorry of what you're doing and turn from it. Now watch what he says. "This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah." Now, it was prophesied that John would come two times in the Old Testament. Isaiah 40 in the book of Malachi chapter 3. The prophets prophesied that John the Baptist would come by the way of the wilderness. And he'd say, "Prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now look what he wore. "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan." One of the old authors said it was a calculation made, Brother Randy, that there was around 1 million people has come out to hear this message. There's not been a thundering from heaven for 400 years. And just what you're talking about this morning, he had contact, Brother Randy. He was plugged in. The God of heaven was on his preaching. And can I tell you, we need the God of heaven on our preaching. Honey, you talking about contact. We need the good Holy Ghost to get plugged into him and let him be a blessing to some people around here. Now let me tell you what, I don't know what kind of visitation John had, but I can tell you this, honey, they come to hear the gospel. They come to hear what he had to say. And the Bible said, looking now in verse number 6, "And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Now there was three types of baptism in the New Testament by water. And I'll read on and I'll explain this in a minute. But first of all, it was John's baptism. John's baptism simply was for the acknowledgement of one sin. John really didn't understand the grasp of the church. The church had been hid from all the Old Testament prophets, and all John knowed is what would come up in him. He got to preaching to them, repent. And the Bible said that they were baptized of him in Jordan, Luke, confessing their sins. You know what they was doing? They was simply taking the message that John had had, and they made acknowledgement of their sins, and they were baptized. Some of the old authors, Brother Jake, was saying that even when they would baptize and bring them up, they were still confessing their sins, being sorry of what they had done. Well, that was the first baptism that we find. And then, watch this now in verse 7. And when he saw many of the Pharisees, them legalists, and Sadducees, them liberals, come to his baptism, look what he's saying. Y'all think I'm a sissy preacher behind John the Baptist? He said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore meats for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In other words, they said, we're Jews. We're going to make it in because who our father is. Can I tell you? Not. The only way you get into heaven is by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, y'all bunch of goody-goody two-shoes, and I'm not preaching against doing right this morning. I'm preaching about Pharisees and religious people. Jesus said you must be born again. Now he said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. He said, just because Abraham's your father, you think you're going in. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat in the garner, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee. He come to Jordan unto John. There's some 60, 70 miles. Jesus has walked to John to be baptized. And John forbade him. John said, you ain't got nothing to confess. He said, you're perfect. John knew enough about him. Remember, though, when John got locked up in prison, he sent some of his disciples and said, would you go ask him, is that really him? Now, John had an inkling of what was going on. Now, stay with me. Then come Jesus from Galilee unto Jordan to John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill the righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, this word means baptizo, immersed, went up straightway out of the water. Look there. I want to give you something. He went up straightway out of the water. Well, why wasn't he down there confessing his sins? Because he didn't have none. And watch this. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. It didn't light on John. Now, I told you earlier over there in the temple to underline where Jesus run them out, where they even had the doves. Now, when that dove come and lit upon Jesus, you know what it was saying? He's the anointed one. This baptismal now that Jesus shows us is the second one in our Bible. And it's showing, commencing his ministry, that he's starting forth, that there's going to be a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Can I tell you, he did not confess his sins because he had no sin. He was the sinless Lamb of God come to take your place and my place. And when John took him down and brought him up, heaven opened. And can I tell you, he still got heaven open this morning by the name above all name. Heaven's not bankrupt. Heaven's not closed. I'm glad it's still open to sinners. And he said, come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. That dove come on him. You know why? Lord showed me this last night. Did you notice when he went in and he run them money changers out? You know what was going on there that made it a den of thieves? They had to come there and make a sacrifice. They come from hundreds of miles to this temple. They couldn't bring the animals with them, so they set up court. Brother Jake, they said this outer court where Jesus is doing this could have been 20 acres. There was oxen, there was sheep, and there was doves. And what would happen, they would come and trade their money in at the temple, and the money changers were sticking a little bit in their pocket, and they hated to see Jesus come because it was messing up their little monopoly. So he turned the tables over. He said, you've made it a den of thieves. Now, he said that they had doves there. You know what that was for? That was for the poorest sinner. That was for the poorest one. It didn't take much to get a little dove. Can I tell you that when heaven opened and the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove, it let me and you know, come without money, come without price. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus paid the price for sinners. I'm glad you can't buy your way yonder into glory. He said, I can cover from the highest to the lowest. And I sure am glad he took our place. Said his three baptisms. John's baptism was pointing people to Christ, having them to confess their sins. When they had baptized in the river Jordan, they would confess their sins. And you know what they do? Prove meet for repentance. They repented. That's still in salvation today. The water don't save you. It's the repentance that gets us to heaven. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things are becoming new. When you get saved, you ought to change. Now, I said it was three baptisms. John, he came, a confession of their sins, he'd baptize them. Christ came, he was baptized. The only baptism ever been like it. It started out his ministry. God proved to John and those round about, this is the anointed one. It commenced his ministry. But now the believer's baptism. Now when we believe in Christ, he instructs us to be baptized as a testimony to this world that we've died to our old ways and we went down in the grave as Christ, but we was raised in the resurrection and the newness of life as a testimony to this old world. The water don't save you, friend. Ephesians chapter number 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. And so therefore now when we believe upon the Lord Jesus, we are to be baptized. Now, he just preached a sermon to these religious people. And there's something here I want to close with. If Miss Sherry would come this morning, Brother David gets a number, whatever y'all want to do today, but I want to share this thought with you. You see, simply to say at John's baptism, it acknowledged the repenter, the confession of sins. The believer's baptism is the redeemed. It brings forth a comfort of salvation. Christ's baptism was the redeemer. It was the commencement of the Savior. But here lastly, I want to say not only this arranged time, this appropriate text, this applied truth and admired testimony. But there is in verse 31 an amazing teaching. And I want you to look what he said back over there in that text where I read from Matthew 21. Look what he said in verse number 31. He said, whether them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him the first. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go in the kingdom of God. Brother Adam, circle this. Before you, not instead of you, but they go before you. So what are you saying? There's an amazing teaching. Christ said, you know what? There's still time for you if you'll just believe in what I'm telling you. But you've got to repent of your sins. Can I tell you that message has not changed? You don't hear much about repentance no more, do you? I want to say this, and I'm not happy about it. I'm really not. I'm happy I've got a testimony. I was raised in one of the greatest homes in the country. I got with the wrong crowd. I got to doing things, got on the wrong track, just like many of you have. Before I knew it, I looked up, I was grown, and I was in addictions, I was in habits, I was doing things, and I was miserable. I was tired of my life. It was in such a way that my wife was just about ready to say, we're done. And God was so merciful to me. He sent an old preacher to my trailer one Saturday and told me about Christ. And Brother Gerald, far as I know, God had never dealt with me as a sinner. Far as I know, God had never dealt with me about me. Well, Brother Elmer Cason, a lot of y'all know him. You've heard me say it 100 times. Brother David, he walked out of that trailer and got back in his car. And they something happened. God stayed. And I got so troubled of how I was living and what I was doing. I'll be honest with you, I'd had a belly full of what I was doing. And that morning, he preached. I don't know what he preached. All I know is the convicting hand of God is on me, and I wanted it off, and I wanted peace in my heart. That's all I know. I didn't have nobody to lead me to the Lord, Brother Ben. I didn't have nobody to guide me. But I'd heard enough gospel that I knowed if I'd just start toward Him, He'd do the rest of it for me. And when I did this, my world changed. Are you perfect? Oh, I'm perfect in Christ. But I still got this old flesh. It bothers me every day I live, it bothers me. And Jesus said, I want to give you an amazing teaching now. You that think you're above these publicans and harlots, they believe John's preaching. So they're going to go in before you, not instead of you. Isn't that just like Christ? You can come if you'll believe the gospel. Now, you know what he says to do? Believe and repent. Turn from your ways. Trust Christ to guide you. Are you tired of how you've been living? Ma'am, are you tired of waking up every morning in the same condition, nothing getting any better? Ma'am, are you searching for everything, trying to bring you peace that only Jesus is going to bring? Sir, are you tired of the lifestyle you're living? Have you just about had a belly full and ready for God to do something for you this morning? And religious person, please look at this text. I don't know why God gave me this. 25 years of preaching, I've never even remembered this text, but I've never preached from it. But religious person, you better listen to this old country preacher this morning. You got to be saved too. Your goodness isn't getting you there. There's none good, no, not one. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. You've got to receive Christ. Have you ever received Him? Wouldn't it be a blessing this morning? Brother Dave, Brother Mike, wouldn't it be a blessing? Wouldn't it be just like God to do something here this morning that none of us could do? Wouldn't it be just like God to preach somebody a sermon this morning and give them an invitation and said, they're not going in instead of you, they're going in ahead of you, but you can come in if you want to come in. Now, I don't care what you've done. You look up here now. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've done it. He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all. I'm glad you can be saved. I'm glad I could be saved. I'm glad my grandbabies could be saved. Would you come this morning and you say, Preacher, I don't know how to be saved, but I want to be. Well, let me tell you how to be saved this morning. Start toward the Savior. Start. He's give you grace. He's let you hear preaching. He's give you life to live today. Now it's your part. You've got to access faith and you've got to step out toward His Son. Won't you come and bow on an old-fashioned altar and simply as a little child say this, God, save me, a sinner. Do you see yourself in your condition and you want to be saved and you can't? Young person, you may not have tomorrow. Older person, you may not have tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. Well, preacher, how do I know God's dealing with me? I tell you the best way in the world. Now, do you want to be saved? Then come, Brother David, what's your number? 97. Stand with us all around the house. You come around.